Good afternoon. I made a talk earlier today called Karmic Law Part 3, in which I attempted to finish up that chapter. And I'm not sure if I'm going to upload it. It could be that we're done with that chapter already. Because last night, about 11:30 at night, I had been reading that last portion, and something in it led me to spiritual interpretation of scripture and the chapter called The True Sense of the Universe. And it was really quite wonderful, the revelation that came through as I read this chapter. And so maybe this is supposed to be the next class instead of the talk I made just getting through the chapter. So let us start here and see if this is not a little better. The beliefs we entertain about the body constitute our sense of body. Now we're talking about your body, so feel this along with me. The truth about body is something entirely different from our concepts of it. The body itself is perfect. It is as immortal and eternal as soul, God, which is the substance and principle of the body. Your body, seen through the universal material beliefs of the world, was born, matures, ages, and dies. In other words, it's human. This very body, when correctly known, that is, spiritually discerned, is the very appearing of soul substance, spirit substance, eternal being. It is neither functional nor organic. What appears to us as functions and organs are our false finite concepts of the activity of mind, capital M, mind, or God, appearing as spiritual body or spiritual formation. And what led me to this chapter is I listened to last week's talk and I thought about just what that means to lay down our human sense of life and pick up our eternal, immaculate conception. And that led me to this, which is quite wonderful. As long as we entertain a material concept of body, we will have concern for it. We will cater to it and find in it both pain and pleasure. As we continue to lift our concept of body until we gain the realization of what our body really is, we will find less and less of either pain or pleasure in it. Until we arrive at the state of consciousness where we realize the body as an impersonal vehicle or mode of expression. I'm going to ask you to listen with your inner intuitive faculties, with your soul faculties, because the name he wanted to give this chapter was called The Secret of the Universe. Every suggestion of discomfort or inharmony coming from the body must be met instantly with the understanding of the true nature of body as spiritual. Only as we understand that errors of sense exist merely as suggestions or false sense can we find freedom from the pains and pleasures of the body. We are never correcting the body, its so-called organs or functions. We are correcting the false concept or sense of body. And so we understand that when through spiritual realization there is a healing, we are not healing a body, are we? We are healing our misperceptions. We are correcting our false sense of self, false sense of body. All we have said here about body is equally true about business, home, security, wealth. My kingdom is not of this world. Okay, here we go. There is nothing of God or reality in the world we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. Now that would be the human life. There is nothing of reality in the human life. The failure of religion in this age is due to the lack of this vision. Theology is attempting to spiritualize a mortal concept of God called man. This man and his universe is no part of God. Wow. Wow, I say. This man and his universe is no part of God. Because God or his kingdom is not of this world. We spoke about my kingdom is not of the hypnotism. We could also say my kingdom is not of the false sense. My kingdom is not of the misinterpretation. The only healing we need in any area is a healing of the glass darkly. Be assured that if God were in this scene, there would be no wars, accidents, diseases, or deaths. God, the infinite power of good, is able to maintain harmoniously and eternally its own creation. In my kingdom, the realm of spirit and truth, there are no errors, no decompositions, or defeats. Prayers uttered for the purpose of healing, improving or aiding the people or conditions of the physical universe reach no farther than one's own belief and bring only the results of our belief. Why? Because we're asking God to heal a glass darkly. If God is too pure to behold iniquity, and God is too pure to behold our humanhood, how can we ask God to patch up an illusion? We can see how that prayer would be fruitless. Likewise, metaphysical treatment, if it seeks to change the human scene, can only bring forth the fruitage of confidence placed in the treatment, or faith in the one doing the treating, or faith in a suppositional God to whom the prayer is addressed. God is the divine reality of your individual being. To avail oneself of the harmonious government of this principle, it is necessary to drop all thought of human persons and conditions. Lose all desire to improve humanhood, and let the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, wholeness, and joy a real being. See, we're not going to God for a healing. We're going to God and dropping our thought of human persons and conditions, good or bad. We're leaving those outside the temple. We are coming to that inner grace, that inner presence, so that in the silence, that presence may reveal itself. Spiritual good is not composed of more or better material conditions. No amount of increased physical health or wealth can testify to the reign of spirit or truth. We rise above sense evidence to find the realm of the real. We must get this truth within us to really do what has been suggested, which is take no thought. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? We are to forget entirely the human picture or human being or humanhood that is being presented to us, even if it is our own. We are to see that that does not need patching. That humanhood is not a creation of God. That humanhood has no God or reality in it. And we are not to try to bring God into it. We are simply to drop it. We are to enter our temple, a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and listen for the divine voice, and let God reveal itself right where we thought we saw a human. And that which we hear in this inner temple melts the appearance of a human. And we say, wow, I thought I was without an income, but this great opportunity showed up. Oh, I thought I was going to live my life forever by myself, and then I met my soulmate. I thought I would never overcome this sickness, but it seems to have disappeared all on its own. We have not experienced a healing of our humanhood. No, we have experienced a dissolving of our humanhood and a greater glimpse of God's harmonious being. Soul power, that which we contact within ourselves, results in what appears to be health, harmony, and wealth. But these are not the same as that which is attained through attempts to improve the human. The harmony in our affairs which results from our contact with our inner self, or soul, is the manifestation or expression of spirit, life, and is the added things which come naturally from the realm of real substance. Finite sense beholds these added things, or spiritual reality, as objectified material sense, or things and persons. Spiritual harmony is not attained by seeking persons, things, or conditions. but by taking no thought for these, and seeking only contact with the divine reality of you. What we are doing is seeking contact with our own inner spiritual consciousness. And that consciousness reveals itself. And none of us knows quite how that happens. But that it does happen again and again, we can testify to. Once we make that contact, the so-called bad and the so-called good both are dissolved. And in their place, we see harmony. Humans cannot put on or wear the robe of Christhood. You see that human that is sowing and reaping and under the law of karma cannot put on Christhood. You can't add Christhood to humanhood. Humanhood has to go. And that's what we're talking about here today. How do we do that? The human mind cannot be spiritualized. It must be put off. You see how holding the right thoughts has nothing to do with it? Where would you hold those right thoughts? In the human mind. And the human mind must be put off. When the Christ appears as individual spiritual consciousness, it dispels mortal or material sense. It dissolves it. It can be likened to when you come into a dark room, the shadows and things appear to be monsters, or they appear to be snakes, or they appear to be something going to jump out at you, somebody hiding in the corner, and you flip the switch and the light comes on and instantaneously all is revealed as being okay. It always was okay, but not while you were seeing through a glass darkly. It is the same here. When we contact that Christ within us, it melts or dissolves that material sense of things. And if we have a great enough realization, we can walk up to the appearance of a blind man and contact that center within us and hear it say, "Open your eyes." We won't be doing the same. We'll hear it say that. Oh yes, it may come out of our mouth and be directed at that blind man. Nevertheless, we will be hearing it the same time we are speaking it. And it will have Christ consciousness behind it. And then the blind man opens his eyes and can suddenly see. And everybody cries out, "A miracle, a miracle," but it isn't. It isn't. Nothing out there was healed. An appearance presented to you was dissolved by the Christ omniscience which sees the perfection of God everywhere. Now you don't do this. You contact it and it does it. The human is never spiritually clothed upon, but as spiritual consciousness appears, material or human sense is dissolved, you see? The effort through mental means to become spiritual is wasted effort. Why? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord." You cannot think God's thoughts for him and then expect a miracle. But you can hear the still small voice impart itself to you from within and witness miracles every day. The attempt to understand spiritual things with the five senses or the intellect is useless. Granted, you have to understand that you need to practice meditation, practice being receptive, practice listening to the Father's voice, to the Spirit within you. You have to understand that that's the step you need to take to reach union and communion with the divine mind. But understanding that, he says, is not far enough. We must go farther. We must actually do it. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the only place you can follow Christ is back to the center of your being. Developing a sense of receptivity, learning to silence the senses, and gaining the ability to listen for the still small voice, this is the way. Human thoughts, even good ones, will not help. Why? Because those human thoughts are under the law. We are coming out from the law of karma and living by grace. And here is something. A thought in the human mind is either good or evil. Right? Right. What do we know is good or evil? Karma. The law of good and evil? The knowledge of good and evil? Therefore, any human thought you have, if acted upon, if dwelt upon, is nothing more than the law of karma. You are hearing the law of karma. But, be of good cheer, I have overcome the law. That I of you, that still small voice, the Christ of you, is grace. And so as we make that inner shift from listening to human thoughts to listening to my impartations, being receptive to spiritual grace, to that inner voice, now we come under grace. Now we have made the transition from living as a human being under the law to our real identity under grace. So in treatment, he says, to close the eyes and declare truth, make affirmations and denials, this is not the way of the Spirit or Christ. Be silent. Hold a listening attitude. Be receptive. Be still. And let the presence and power of God be made manifest through silence. This is the way. Alright. Wow, there's so much in this chapter. Even the point that I wanted to make, we haven't even reached yet. And here's another one. And that is, we cannot serve two masters, God and Mammon, or God and matter, or God and the human mind, because really there is no matter, only a mental image. We cannot serve God and the mind. We cannot serve God and karma. Do we not see that it's one karmic law, the mind, humanhood, it's one. And we do not want to serve that one. We are coming out now. We are hearing another voice. We are able to hear tongues, speak in tongues, and that means we are able to hear and understand that inner voice, that spiritual voice, that still small voice. We serve one or we serve the other. Which will it be? Make your decision today. The Christ way is not a transfer of thought from one individual to another. It does not include suggestion or hypnotism. And that's another name for karmic law, humanhood, mortal thoughts, hypnotism. That's another name for the same thing. To break the hypnotism, you can't do it. I can't do it. So we can stop trying. Hypnotism is broken how? We know it. Hypnotism is broken when God utters its voice, the earth, or hypnotism, melts. More and more we are becoming aware that this is an inner shift. That's all it is. It's an inside job. It is a silent state of receptivity in which the Christ or Spirit of God is manifest as our individual consciousness. It appears principally as a feeling, which he has in quotes, a feeling of the presence, and it dispels the illusion of sense for oneself or for another. We develop the habit of, as soon as we are confronted with an appearance, whether our own or somebody else's, we develop the habit of saying, okay, I'm not to do anything with this. This is hypnotism. This is the mind. This is humanhood. This is an appearance. This is an illusion. I'm dropping it. Now, only that inner voice can break this, can dissolve it, can melt it. So I am going to listen. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Utter your voice. And with practice, something will come. It really will. And that something may be something as simple as just a deep breath with a release. It may be something as complicated as God is known only when the human mind is at rest. Be at peace. Be still. I will function. It may be something as simple as a tingling on the side of your face. It could be a sense of peace that envelops you. Whatever way you feel it, it dissolves that appearance. Not you. It. And if it does not dissolve at the first experience, go back to it again and again until it does dissolve. And if necessary, ask for help from someone else also living this way. It will be dissolved. And with practice, you become proficient. No, you can't do it every single time. It will, but almost, almost. And I suspect some time with practice, it will be every time it will, at least as much as Christ Jesus was able to, because he told us, greater things than these shall ye do. Actually, it's greater things than these shall ye witness being done through you, through your consciousness. As we are touched by the Christ, as our consciousness becomes more and more the Christ itself, the receptive consciousness of those asking for help likewise feels this spiritual influence and responds to it, and harmony is made evident. The Christ does not come down from its high estate to serve or cater to mortals. See, asking God to fix my sore toe is really ridiculous because it's not going to happen. What sore toe? All Christ sees is Christ. All Christ sees is God everywhere present. And thank goodness, because Christ sees God everywhere present, when God or Christ utters its voice, that's exactly what appears, God everywhere present. If Christ was wrapped up in the illusion like we were, then of course there would never be a healing and it would be hopeless. The Christ is the light of the world. And those desirous of its blessings and benefits must leave the husks of material living, must forsake sense satisfaction, even human rights, and other forms of human good. They both have to go. You cannot hold on to human good without holding on to the illusion, without holding on to karmic law. Both have to go. If we are going to see through the entire sense illusion to the underlying reality of spiritual being, then we have to be willing for both sides to go. There, we must forsake sense satisfaction, even human rights, and other forms of human good, and follow me. That is that inner voice. See, there's no me that lived 2,000 years ago. There's no me that will live 3,000 years from now. The only me that spoke through Jesus is the same me that is speaking in you, that you hear in your meditations. Now, here is an important line here, because we miss this. There is no place where the human and the spiritual blend. There it is again. We cannot add God to our humanhood. We can't add reality to the illusion, and we need to stop trying. Stay where you spiritually are, high in consciousness. And those who have discovered the nothingness of mortal dreaming will come to you. Franz Kafka writes, "You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen, simply wait. Do not even wait, but be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet." Is that not wonderful? This is true of your high estate, your uplifted consciousness. Once you touch or are touched by this, whatever you call it, Christ, it, Tao, God, is, then stand and let those attracted receive its benediction. Do not attempt to carry it to humanity. On that path lie unnecessary heartaches and persecutions. Why? Because they don't want it. They want a better humanhood. Or they want to be happy and free to enjoy their humanity. They are not ready to lay down their life, their false sense of life. Only those ready can comprehend it, and they are seeking you and finding it, or perhaps more correctly, they are seeking it and finding you. Give unto him that is athirst, not to those who are finding satisfaction in lesser waters. These feel they are being sated and have no greater desires. Only when intense thirst comes again and again will they realize there is a water, which when they drink of it, they will never thirst. These are already at the door of your consciousness. Bid them enter. The Christ is here. Now, here comes the great secret of the universe. Truly, if you catch this, you have found the key to everything. And he says, "I want you to understand the great secret of the universe. Had the ancients known it, our modern living would be as in a paradise. If we learn it in this age, we can help to usher in the millennium. The few who have known this secret in the past ages could not teach it. It would appear that only a very few had the spiritual capacity to grasp its meaning. Some few understood it intellectually, but rarely was it understood in its spiritual significance. I am not a dreamer of idle dreams, but I have a vision of eternal life. I would not have you either sitting on a cloud or anchored with your feet on the ground. My idea and my ideal is that you be rooted and grounded in truth, that you be fed with spiritual meat, and that you drink waters from the wellsprings of eternal spirit and soul. The secret, that which has been so rarely understood, is that spiritual meat and drink. And the secret is this. The life which you behold in man, tree, or animal is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God, and therefore is not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man or flower is mortal sense objectified. It is a false sense of the life which is real. The senses are reporting to you a false universe. The understanding of this truth will enable you to look away from the objects of sense. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform the mortal sense of existence. And as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. My kingdom is not of this world. And so when we learn that we are not to heal or improve this world, but rather to look away from it, then that inner voice will begin to unfold and reveal itself to us. You cannot behold or experience eternal life and its harmonies and beauties while accepting the evidence of the senses as if it were God's creation. And this part in my book is highlighted, and there's arrows and brackets and stars, because I know this is so, so important. Do not take lightly what I am saying. This is the great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." It will reveal to you the secret of John the Revelator, who beheld the universe which is not made with hands, but which is eternal, as consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, and soul revealing itself. Is that not what we want? What we have always longed for? What we have always known somewhere within ourselves? Heaven is here and now. Heaven is not a tomorrow process. Heaven is not something to be deserved or earned. Heaven has nothing to do with our humanhood, of being good or being evil. None of that has anything to do with the heaven here and now. But if we will meditate on this great revelation, on the great secret, and if we will meditate on "My kingdom is not of this world," there is an inner presence ladies and gentlemen, there really is a Christ spirit, an it within you, within your consciousness, an it. If you are ever silent and receptive, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, it will reveal a universe not made with hands, eternal, eternally present now, in which you live and move and have your being. My kingdom is not of this world. The attempt to bring spirit into operation in this finite sense of existence constitutes the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. We're trying to bring spirit to bear under the law of karma, and it cannot be done. Cannot be done. To continue in the belief that by some mental hocus-pocus you're going to make material life perfect, to feel that in some holy way a god or god power is going to make your human life healthier or lengthier, to dream of some religious magic that will enable you to sail on smoothly in the sea of material living, all of this is folly and it is dangerous. It is leaning on a fable which will not sustain you. And now he repeats it again. The life of material man, the life of the tree, the flower, the animal, this is not the life eternal. It is not the manifestation of the life which is God. It is a false, finite, mortal sense of life. Let's put it this way. It is a mental image superimposed on top of the kingdom which you are looking through so that you do not see the kingdom. You cannot dislodge or remove that mental image. You can recognize it for what it is. You can drop it. You can turn within and say, okay, I get it. Now, Father, utter your voice. Speak your word. I am listening. What is the truth here? You can be receptive. You can be silent. You can be a witness as God reveals that temple, that universe not made with hands, eternally present. Do not attempt to patch up this mortal sense of life. Rather, turn from it, and with your now enlightened consciousness, discern the life which is God. Feel, he has in quotes, feel through your cultivated spiritual sense this divine energy of spirit. Become conscious in the silence of your soul powers. Let, in italics, let the divine harmonies appear as you disregard the evidence of sight and hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Believe me, this is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal to know this truth. Yes, it is. Knowing this truth, practicing what has been laid out here today will reveal your eternal universe, your eternal body, your eternal mind, your eternal being, your eternal life. This is life eternal, to know this truth. Truly, kings and emperors would give their thrones could they but learn this one truth. But the rich and powerful in matter, that is, in the material sense of existence, cannot understand this truth. It is, to mortal sense, too abstract. Just think. There's no value, no reality, no use of struggling for that which is seen and felt, because that is but the unreal concept of eternal values. Can you imagine the power drunk, the money mad, the hoarder, the glutton, understanding that what he is handling, saving, fighting, and dying for is a shadow, a mirage? That which is real and eternal is not seen or touched, but is spiritually discerned within you. It is cognized only by the intuitive or inner consciousness. Reality is perceived by the soul senses, the inner vision. Only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence. Only those who have heard what is said by the still, small voice and seen what is visible to the windows of the soul can discern the temple not made with hands, the universe of God's creating. This inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense comes only in proportion as we accept and realize the great secret. Now he's going to tell us this great secret a third time in this four pages, three times. The life of material man, plant, or animal is not the eternal life, God. It is the finite sense, the manifestation of mortal material sense. This false sense of life must be put off, disregarded, unvalued, in order that the real life and its formations may become evident and experienced. Now, I think that makes it pretty clear. I don't think I can add to that. But that was what revealed itself to me last night. Because upon reading the final three pages of Karmic Law and the Thunder of Silence, I began to ponder, what does that mean to put off human life and put on grace? How do we put off this karmic law and put on grace? And in answer to that, I was led to the great secret of that universe not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so now you know what I know. This is the way, the inner way, of allowing God to reveal itself to you, through you, and as you. God bless you wherever you are that catches this vision. Amen.